study. If you're not coming, you got to get here. We're talking about the Kingdom Agenda. This is a series, a six-part series, right? Is that possible? Six-part series. And it is so awesome. It is definitely life-changing. I don't even care if you just come for one, but try to make them all. And if you cannot, you can go on a website called Right Now Media, and it is on there. It's called Kingdom Agenda by Tony Evans. Really awesome. Awesome. And I'll definitely want to get you guys there and check it out. But if you cannot make it, definitely come to Bible study Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., and come worship with us and learn more about the Kingdom Agenda. Amen? How's everybody doing on their 90-day challenge? Any testimonies? What is God doing for anybody? Changing you? Anybody got any specific testimonies as far as what has been going on at work or in the household, in the neighborhood? Anybody? All right. All right. We'll keep it going. I wanted to share something. I shared something with the leaders. Thank you, Elder. I shared something with the leaders when we had our leadership meeting, and it was impressed upon my heart that I wanted to share it with you guys again. But it's about discipleship. And if you guys don't know what discipleship is that what Jesus did when he was on this earth, when he began his ministry, he took along 12 along and walked with them for 3 years. And I mean nonstop, night and day, he was with those guys, and he was discipling them. And truly a blessing. So they, after that he left, they were able to move on and carry on the ministry. And here we are today, churches all over the world, from that discipleship. Now I want to tell you a little bit about me. When I first got to Whidbey Island, I have never left. This has been my duty station for some of you guys who do not know. Been here since 1995. And I'm telling you, I wanted to leave, but after 2000, I just gave up because I said, they ain't going to send me anywhere else. But when I came to the church with these fine people here, they had some really good men in the church. And I'm talking about they were big men, and they were intentional men. You know what I mean? That they can make some things happen. Much like you think about Elder Otis right here, Elder Johnny. When I came in, I was dating the pastor's daughter. You know what I mean? So when I saw them discipling me, I was like, I don't know if they really discipling me or they just trying to keep me close, so I won't be messing around with the pastor's daughter and messing up stuff. You know what I mean? But I think, I'm just assuming, as I stuck around and started to get serious about God, they started to get serious about their mentorship towards me. And they brought me into their homes. They let me see how they live. Let me see how they raise their children, because I'm a newly married man. I got a child on the way. And they were investing in me. And they were sharing things of their heart, sharing their fears, sharing what they thought about. And I'm like, man, these guys are so transparent. I don't know, Peter. I don't know if I want to hang around these, but they telling me they business. And I was like, man, I'm a little nervous. But what I began the big picture is I was like, thank you, God, for them to be able to share with this young man their weaknesses and their concerns, so that I know as I started having this wife that I'm responsible for and children coming in tow, that there are some concerns that men have. Because I was bumping my head a lot when I first got married. I remember one particular, and I'm going to tell you how bad I was. I remember my wife, she was in her 7th month, and she asked me, she said, babe, can you help me tie my shoe? And I'm like, girl, tie your own shoe. She couldn't get around that belly, but all I'm thinking about is myself. So, you know, I was kind of like a little off on how it was to be a good husband and a good father. So I just truly thank God for these men that were in my life, and they discipled me, and I think I turned out okay. What you think? I think I turned out all right. So I really want to encourage you guys that are walking along with some people. If you're not, please do. Disciple someone. Let them come into your household. They may see you fail. They may see you yell at your kids. They may see you fuss with your wife, but that was just a part of life. You're not going to agree with everybody. They may see you like, I don't feel like coming to church today. Come anyway. They come mad. I saw him come mad. I saw him sit in the chair and not say nothing. But at the end of the service, they was like, man, I'm so glad I came. And they gave testimony services. And it really blessed me that I had men that were surrounding me and showing me what it looked like to be a man of God. So I was truly inspired, and I wanted to do the same thing. And I'm asking you, women of God, men of God, do the exact same thing. People are looking at you of how to behave. What is it like? What does it mean to be a Christian? What do you do when you're having problems with your kids? What do you do when you're having problems with your wife? Show them how it's done. Invite them to your home. I know that's a touchy subject for some people. I don't want anybody in my home. I don't want to disciple people. I can talk to them on the phone. We can go out for coffee. But I'm telling you, it's something about when you're at home and they get to see how you really live. You know what I mean? When they see how you really live, they could be like, yeah, I can match that to the same guy that I see at church, the same guy I see at work, the same girl that I see playing in the park or doing sports, right? So I just wanted to share that with you real quick. So be encouraged. Oh, man, thank you. So I want to recap this real quick. Last week's message, Marinated Heart. Man, what a great message. I hope that it changed your life. It changed mine. And Pastor Linda was using the analogy of a great tasting steak. It requires a marinade. And it often uses an acidic-based marinade to break down the calcium in the meats. And so in analogy to that, the heart needs a marinade, which is a meditation on God's word, to produce fruit in the lives of kingdom people. Can we say amen? Amen. And they, she can use the scriptures, Psalms 119 and 11. She says, that word I have hid in my heart. So my takeaways, my favorite takeaways of this great word is that how we must allow the time it takes to allow the marinade to work. She said, this is no short task. This is not no short thing. If you're going to put it on the marinade, you're going to have to leave it in there for a few hours. And if you don't, you're going to be able to tell in the meat. It's going to be bland. It's going to be tasteless. And you have to allow the marinade, the meditation of the word. So after church, I was like, Pastor Linda, oh my God, that was such a great word. I can do a part two to that. And she said, okay, go do it. I was like, you know what? I don't got a whole lot. I just was talking about just like a tidbit, a little bit of nugget. But she said, go ahead and do it. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you what the word of God has given, what God has given to me, and I hope that you can take it and it'll be a life-changing word for you. Can we say amen? Amen? So the question I'm asking you guys today is, are you still marinating? Are you still meditating on this word of God? And Pastor Linda did give us some homework. She said it was homework for the Bible. It was Matthew 13. She came from 1 through 8, but she gave us 13 through 23 to meditate on. And I'm going to give you my takeaways from that, and I'm going to ask you to go back home if you did not do the homework. And you could go back to Pastor Linda and say, hey, this is what I got out of it. This is really awesome, but don't share what I got. You share what you got out of, okay? That would be cheating. So what I loved about it, and this is a parable of the sower. And what my first takeaway of this parable of the sower is that most parables that when Jesus spoke, he always said the kingdom of heaven is like. But this one, he did not say it. He just went right into it. And he said a sower sows, he went out to sow. And in this parable, the sower represents those that share the gospel, those that are sharing the kingdom of God. All right? That's you and me. We are the sowers in this earth. And he said that this sower was going out with the intent to share God's word. And in the sower's hope, anybody who has grew up on a farm, the sower's hope it was that when he planted a seed, he or she planted a seed, that they would reap a harvest. Who goes out and just throws seeds out there and never goes back to check on it, never waters it, and never seeks to expect something to come out of the ground? The watering and the going back on to check on it, that is that discipleship I was just telling you about. Going in and checking it and see how the soil is going and see if the seed is budding out of the ground. And also, much like our pastors and ministers, like I said, we desire to see people come into a relationship with Christ. If you don't, you should. Don't you desire? When you see your coworkers and they having a hard time, or they struggling, or they depressed, or you see them, they just ornery. They mad at the world, or they always, you know what I mean? They got some very colorful words that you would not say in church. You're like, man, you hear people say they need Jesus. Them jokers need Jesus. But that's why you're there. They shouldn't need them very long because you're going to be there because you're going to invite them to church. So not everyone being witnessed to receives God without any opposition. And then herein lies what he was talking about in this scripture about the ground. He speaks of four types of ground. He talks about the rocky ground. He talks about the roadside ground, the thorny ground, and the good soil. If you guys want to go with me, let's go to read that scripture. It's going to Matthew's. Chapter 13, and for those who forgot your Bibles, you'll find that on the screen right behind me. So in Matthew 13, I'm going to begin to read that, starting at the 18th verse. Oop. For those who got your Bibles, let me know when you get it. Just say amen. That's pretty quick. So, Matthew 13, starting at the 18th verse, it says, listen to the meaning of the parable. While anyone is hearing in the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in the heart? That is, what was sown alongside the road. And as for what was sown on the rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but a little while. And when afflictions or trouble or persecution comes on the account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. And as for what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the pleasures and the delight and glamour and deceitfulness of the riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. And as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word, grasps it, comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in case of 100 times as much as was sown, and another 60 times as much, and another 30. And I was just a little thought, just want to throw it on the side. We said the thorns that had been thrown by the wild, the roadside, it was taken up by birds. And I was like, oh my goodness. For men and for women, taken up by birds. And when I was growing up, we used to call girls chicken heads. And if you got some birds that were chicken heads that was coming to take that word from you, that, oh, it's a good word, but I want you to come to my house. And then and in the same like manner for girls, there were some jive turkeys, some birds that would come to try to take your word. God has given you a word, and you get distracted by these, the opposite sex, and not only the jive turkeys, but them buzzards. You know what them buzzards do? They just try to prey on those, that dead thing. And they just want to wait until you fall, until you're dead. And that buzzard want to come in and just take it over. So watch out for those roadside birds. Don't be that roadside bird. I just a sidebar. I didn't really want to go there. But I want to talk to you about the things that we marinate in real quick. And Pastor Linda had asked a great question. What is your flavor? Relating to how we treat God's word like picky eaters. We indulge in what benefits the taste buds, but not necessarily our bodies. Well, we need to be making sure we're getting our fair share of the whole plate. We can use the word to straighten other people out. We can use the word to justify our situations and where we're at. We can use the word to try to put somebody else in line when it benefits us. When we don't want those ornery people in our lives, we want to use the word on that. But we need to ensure that we are getting the word not just when it suits or justifies us, but we're getting the word to help us grow. Why would we get the word for someone else? It would be foolish of us to just read the word just so that we can use it as a weapon against other people. That's not why he gave us the word. Can people tell what you marinate in? Isn't it true that what you take in manifests itself? What do we marinate in? We marinate in Netflix, TV series, whether it be Netflix, whether it be Hulu, you name it, Roku, whatever, you name it. When you marinate in that, and I was trying to find a series every now and then, you know, you get done with your series and you want to look at another series and you binge watch. And you take all that time, you could be on the couch for hours, or you could be on your phone for hours, wherever you may be, and you're taking that in. And what I found as I'm looking at shows and stuff is that it used to be where soap operas was like just a daytime thing. And now it isn't like in every series that you want to watch. There's always some kind of drama. Even when I was trying to watch the comic book shows like Arrow, there's some drama in Arrow. There's some drama in Flash. I'm like, man, come on. Can he just save the day? Why did it got to be drama? Why does it have to be love stories? I just want him to save the day, fight the enemy, and be done with it. But there's drama in it. And then I began to see that there was drama in my life because I was marinated in a Netflix. Chilling in that Netflix. What about social media? Does anybody ever check out social? I know not too many people get in social media on their phone scrolling for hours. But what about social media? All right. But you marinating that, and you're all in other people's business. You know what's going on in their world, but you don't know what's going on in yours. Life is happening. And I know you've seen it. You're going out to eat with your family, and you see people, they sitting right across from each other, and they texting each other information that they could have just openly said to them in their face. Losing touch with the world because they're marinating in social media. What else do we marinate in? And isn't it true that what we take into our bodies is going to reflect on the outside? You got too much sugar in your diet, it shows up, right? Forms of disease and conditions, diabetes and things like that. You got too much sodium in your diet, too much salt in your diet, it shows up. So when you do these things that you're delving in and you think nobody sees, when you're marinating or meditating on things that the world has given you to take your time and take you from God, it shows up. You're wondering why you have high blood pressure. What are you taking in? You're wondering why you always have drama in your life. What are you taking in? You're wondering why you can't stay peace. You can't stay at peace, and you can't cannot find time to speak positive through these 90 days. I'm gonna be one. I've admitted it. It's been a challenge. Pastor knew it was gonna be a challenge when he told us for 90 days. I was one of them. One said I would rather fast. Speak positive. I thought I was a pretty positive guy until I had to think about the things that I was talking about. And I love the way he said, just to think positive. The actions is going to follow, because I was one of those sarcastic guys. So when people were saying something, and I think that's just the military mind, we just very sarcastic. Somebody say something stupid, and in our mind, we already got the answer to it. But I'm one of the ones, I'm just start smiling, and I'm thinking it in my head. But even in that, I got to think positive. Change your mindset. Maybe they didn't hear it, but God heard it. I was like, goodness gracious, God, please erase that one. I didn't even mean that one. They just set themselves up for that one. That was just dumb. But God is helping me, and I thank God for that challenge. So I got to ask you, and I got to implore you again, just like Pastor Linda, is to marinate, meditate into God's word. There is benefit. Can you marinate or meditate on God's word all day, every day? You absolutely can. Thank you. Thank you. You absolutely can. How do I know? Because we do it in the opposite. We worry. We worry from the time that we get up, from the time we go to bed. We worry all day. That is a form of meditation. I can meditate on everything. You can meditate on anything. The what ifs. I hope that when I step down these stairs, I don't trip over them. And I hope that when I come back up the stairs, I don't trip on them. I hope my belly not sticking out too fast when they're looking at me funny. I hope that when I'm preaching them, there's no booger that's going to be coming out of my nose and everybody going to be focusing on that. They don't even going to hear the word. I hope that when I go to work that all my uniform looks right, because somebody's going to call me out. Am I right? The things you worry about? I hope that when I stand up that my clothes are not in the crack of my butt when I stand up. I'm just being real. We worry about some things, right? I'm worrying about it when I'm talking to sisters, or I'm praying for a sister or a brother, that my breath don't smell bad. We worry about some things that don't even matter. I was talking to my son today, and I was asking him, I said, have you ever worried about if we had enough gas in the car? Have you ever worried about if the heat was going to be on? I know they don't do it, because they open up the window, and they just be taking all the heat out the house. But we need to get back to that like a little child, when we don't worry about nothing because we know that our Father got it under control. I also asked him, I was talking to him this morning, I think we were talking about Sister Naisha and the loss that she had, and he had said, I have never been to a funeral in my life. I said, well, you better thank Jesus, boy. At a young age, I had started, and I was like, wow, he has not even experienced that. We can give God thanks for that. There are some things that we didn't even have to experience because God had kept us from us for a time. And I truly thank God for that. I want to show you this thing. God has showed me this earlier this week, but I want to, can you play that video? Talk a little bit about the cow. So kids, pay attention to this. It's pretty good.
It's actually four stomachs in one. Cows can eat a whole meal in just a few minutes. They swallow their food right away and store it in their first stomach, which is called the rumen. In the rumen, the food is made into small balls called cuds. Throughout the day, a cow will burp up a cud of food, chew it, and swallow it again as many as 60 times.
60.
Each time she does that, her food becomes easier to digest. Once the food is thoroughly digested, it moves into her second stomach, which is called the reticulum. From there, it moves into two other stomachs, the omasum and the abomasum.
All right. Thank you. Did you hear how many times they take a do that? 60 times. If it ain't digested just right to go to the next stomach, they burp it back up, regurgitate it, chew on it again. So disgusting. I was like, man, 60 times. When I was younger, I thought that was gum. I was like, why is this cow? Is this grass turning into gum? But at the end of the matter, guess what happens to that digested grass? You're pouring it on your cereal, you're baking with it. Good old milk. Good old dairy milk. As disgusting as it sounds, the outcome is you're going to enjoy the end matter of that thing. And I have never heard a child complain about milk unless it's ran out. I need some more milk, Dad. But now you know where it comes from. Give you a little bit better perspective. So I wanted you guys to share with me the word. Now, and it may seem a little weird to you, but I'm just that weird guy. That when we get this word and it's not fully digested in our spirit, man, in our heart, that we just say it again. It comes back up. It reminds us. Like, yay, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil. Have a little trouble in my finances, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I didn't get it the first time, so, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Did I get it? I got that down. It's ready to pass. Does anybody else have scripture that when you know you're going through that you can call out? You don't have to do the regurgitating thing. How about you?
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Awesome.
Amen.
You want one?
Cast your cares upon him. Oh, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you that worry.
That's awesome.
Amen.
How about you? What are you regurgitating? God is love. Brother Damien? Not right now? All right. Jerry?
Cast your cares upon the Lord and he shall renew your strength.
He shall renew. Does anybody need strength today? Brother Peter?
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Woo! Man, are you hearing that? As for me and my house. Regurgitate on that. As for me and my house. Brother Nick? Come on now.
All these things.
All these things will be added unto you. You got one?
A city without wise leaders will end up in a ruin, but a city with many wise leaders will be kept safe.
All right. All right. Young people getting into us. Can I get another one? And when you're meditating,
blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Ooh. Yeah. Nigel, you want to help you help your granddad, Nigel? That's your scripture right there. You want to help your granddad? Come on. He wasn't listening, but he going to say it now. Psalms 1 through 3. All right. And I don't know if you guys know this, and it may not be important to you, but I have a family scripture that we talk about. Did I miss anybody? Anybody else wanted to share? Okay, go ahead.
Psalms
Mr. Porter got one.
Spitefully use
you. Woo! I like that. Come on.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding.
All right, come on. Amen. Don't use the mic. Don't use hand. We're not talking. Laisha, come on, sister.
Do not grow weary in well-doing.
Woo! Awesome. Did I miss anybody? All right, amen. Thank you guys so much for that. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. It's a really awesome word. We're going to be reading from 5 through 8. What happens when you don't meditate? Oh, well, come on. I'm not going to hold you back. Oh, did you? Don't stop him. That's good. That's good. What do you got? Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was the true and perfect light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank you guys so much. All right, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Both 5 and 6 will tell you the negative. And 7 and 8 will tell you what the positive is. So I'm going to read this for you here, Jeremiah 17. And it says, thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man. Frail man mean yourself, meaning man that you do not bring life into a situation, unkingdom like men, making weak humans flesh in his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. It says, for he shall be like a shrub or a person naked in the destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and in uninhabited salt land. And I was like, man, isn't that enough? Is it enough for you? That was enough for me. That I don't want to live life in the wilderness like that. That I'm trusting on my own flesh. I know, and I hope that you know also, where you would be on your own understanding, on your own strength. I hear a lot, been working with young adults, my wife and I working with young adults, I hear it all the time. Well, man, Brother Sam, I'm just going, when I get myself together, I'm going to come to church. Now, I'm always letting them know, man, how does that work? Have you ever just thought that out in your mind? I'm going to get my life together and I'm going to stop doing other things that God don't like. Then I'm going to come to Jesus and I'll be like, hey, here I am. What does Jesus have to do then? He don't got nothing to do. Come all dirty. Muck and miry. Bring it all. All that you are. Bring it to Jesus and say, here I am. This is what you died for, Lord. What are you going to do with it? And over again, he keeps showing us. Over and over again, he says, bring it all. I'll take it. I know what to do with garbage, and I know what to do with trash. I know what to do with the muck and miry. As a matter of fact, the very dust of the ground is where I made you from. Have you read that in Genesis 2 and 7? He said, out of the dust, he made Adam. So he knows how to, he specializes in dirt. He specializes in it. So in verse 7 and 8, let's read. It says, blessed is the man who believes in, trust in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spread out in its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. Now, this blessed my soul, because when we're going through things, you got to remember that a tree that is planted by the river, all I can tell you is unexhaustive supply. A tree needs water. A tree needs sunlight. But when a tree is planted by a river, there is an inexhaustible supply. And I like how that part, when it says that even in a drought, the leaves are green. Hallelujah. And what blessed my heart so much so is that when it's a dry, when it's dry land and it's in a desert place, if you dig deep enough, oh, the ground is moist. If the roots are deep enough. Now, I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about marinating now. Understand with me. Stay with me. When the roots are deep enough, when you've regurgitated that thing down until where it's not coming back up because it is a part of your constitution, people can look at you, Chantel, and be like, man, I know her story. Why is she still coming to church? Because the roots are deep. Why is that, brother? Man, I know that he should be. Something has got to be wrong, but he's still coming to church. Hallelujah. The roots are deep. Man, his leaves are still green, Nick. Because the roots is deep. He didn't know how to have a problem digging in. Meditating and regurgitating that word. It has processed in, and it is a part of his constitution. When he wakes up, he can pronounce that word. No, three or four virgins, but the word is hid in the heart. Thank you, God. That's why they can keep going. Thank you, God. And when other people say, I don't know how you can do it, you can tell them, it's Jesus. It's Jesus alone. God's word sustains us. Can you say that with me? God's word sustains us. And what I love about it is that when God, he knows how we are. It's like little kids. I remember that we was learning about Joseph Garlington. What a wonderful story he shared with us. He said that he was in church for service one day, and he was sitting next to this lady, and she had a small child. And what she did is she took a little thing that looked like candy, and she threw it on the floor. And then the kid saw it, and he ran down to get it. And she said, don't eat that candy. And as soon as she said that, he put it in his mouth. He said, why would you do that? She said, have you ever tried to give kids to take their medicine? You know how hard it is to get children to take their medicine? I throw it down there. He thinks it's candy. He eats it right up, and I don't never have to worry about him not taking his medicine. And God does that same thing for us. But you know what he does? He knows that you would not say, God, take the coals, cleanse my lips. Here I am. That don't sound fun at all. So what does he do? He just drops it into a song. Take me past the outer courts to the holies of holy, past the brazen altars and to your holy place. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We have a family scripture. My kids just told me about a month ago. I didn't even know it was a song. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Been telling my kids to recite it, remember it. And then God said, you know, I'm going to give it to them in a song. I ain't going to even make you stress out about it, Sam. I'll put it in a song so they can sing it. Thank you, Jesus. And they singing it to me. But you will flourish. And at that scripture, it should remind you of what my son was teaching about. Well, not teaching about, but he was reciting. That's one of his favorite scriptures. It's Psalms 1:1-3. And I want to read it because I just love it. You guys don't mind. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, their advice, their plans, their purpose, nor stands submissive and inactive in the paths where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and his desire are in the law of the Lord, and on the law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, studies by day and by night. You think you can meditate this morning? Oh, I know you can. You can meditate all day, marinate in God's word. And there it is again. Verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree, firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth fruit in its seasons. Its leaf shall not fade or wither, Evergreen. Somebody say evergreen. And everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Now, nowhere in this verse does it say that it will not rain on that tree. Nowhere in this verse does it say that if a hurricane come or a tornado come, that it's not going to be affected by it. Maybe some branches will fall. Maybe we'll lose a few leaves. But it will stand. And it will stand. And I'm asking you to stand, therefore. Stand on the word that sustains us. Meditate on that word. And one example, one of the greatest examples I like, and I want to take you there, is Joshua 1. Joshua 1. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then I'll close. This is at a point of time Joshua was taking over from Moses. Moses was leading the people. He had led the people out of Israel. And he was telling the people that you're going into a promised land. God has promised you. And we want you to be ready. And then God told Moses, you're not going to the promised land. Joshua's going to take over. So when Moses died, Joshua inherited this nation of people. And then not on top of leading this nation of people that he inherited, but he had to fight for the promised land that he was promised. And his first battle was Jericho. So I'm going to let you read it. Read it in Joshua if you continue to read. It's a really awesome story. But his first battle was Jericho. And the things that God had imparted into this was his indoctrination letter. Now you sitting in the seat, you in the seat of leadership, and let's hear what God says. It says, after the death of Moses and the servant of the Lord, Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, take his place, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving them and the Israelites. Every place upon which the sole of your feet shall tread, that have I given to you, as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon to a great river, Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, Canaan, and the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, be confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And pay special attention to 7-8 here. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it. Meditate on it now. It is the right hand. Don't turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, there it is again, and that you shall deal wisely and have good success. What a great indoctrination to his first leadership position. Isn't that awesome? And he didn't say, hey, I know you're not going to be afraid. He said, do it afraid. Do it afraid. You know that this is a big responsibility to lead a nation. It's a big responsibility to lead a family, to raise children, to honor your husband, honor your wife, but you can do these things. It's a great responsibility to be a witness in this day and age where people are so offended about Jesus and what you are calling them to come to know the Father. They can say, I'm offended, and I don't want to talk about that. Or they'll throw you off and say, I already got a religion, leave me alone. What a great responsibility, and what a great opportunity it is. And he says, it's okay. You may be a little nervous, but do it nervous. You may have some reservations, but do it with the reservations. But do not forsake my word. Everything that I've instructed you, everything that I've promised you, is going to be yours. And guess what? There's a battle up ahead. Get ready. So if you're under the sound of my voice, and you've heard this word, please stand. And you want to be that good soil that we discussed, not the rocky, not the thorny, not the roadside. And you want to have You want to be that good soul that when the seed is planted, it will flourish. That you will not have the distractions. I'm going to ask the elders and the pastors to come. We want to pray for you. It would be remiss to me that you know it, and I know it. There are the distractions there. That you wake up in the morning, you have good intentions. You say, God, I'm available to you. God, I want to do your will. Then life happens in between. The rains come. Tornadoes come. And things come to distract you. But God, he has not forsaken you. And he has given you instruction. And all that you have to do is trust on it. Meditate on it. Speak it. Even though you see the rain come, you see the dark clouds, you can still meditate on that word. Without, what is Philippians 3 and 14? Does anybody know what Philippians 3 and 14 says? I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Oh, I see it. I see me and my wife, we're getting ready to argue, but I can do all things. I can keep my mouth shut. God said that I can. Through Christ. Oh, I see my brother, man. We don't really get along, but I can do all things that Christ. I'm meditating, I'm regurgitating that thing until it's a part of my constitution. So I ask you to come. We all need prayer, but I'd ask you to come if you're willing. Come and get one of these elders. Y'all come up to the front if you guys don't mind. Come up to the front. And you meet with one of our elders and our pastors, and I want you to just to pray with them. And they will pray for you that you will be able to remove every distraction and to have that courage to stand on your word. That you would not look at the fear as such a big thing, but you would look at God as the big thing. And if you spend more time worrying than meditating on God, I want you to come too. It's easy to worry. It's easy to think about the thing that's going to, what ifs. But man, if you would just swap that around and say, what if God would change this situation? What if God would give me the promise that he said he would? He is not a man that he shall lie. So he's going to do it. But you have to operate your faith in this thing. He's making it available. Operate your faith by declaring his word, reminding him of his word. He just loves to hear you say it. He's already got it for you. He just wants to hear you say it. Will you stand on his word? If that is you, come and pray. And if you are not a part of a body, I want you to come also. You're not a part of a body. You want to be a part of a body. He said, you know what? I just need to be a part of God first before I can just meditate on this word. We ask you to come too. And we'll pray with you. And if that is all, I know that there's more, but if that is all that we're willing to come, we'll pray for you anyway, right where you are. So pastors and elders, if you would turn and get with one of the people that has come here, and we're just going to begin to pray. Sir, would you pray for me? Pray. What's your name? Alicia. Sam. Each and every one. What are we going to be praying for? So, Father God, I thank you for Alicia, Lord God. I thank you so much, Lord God, that you brought her here today.
We've got to choose to be in that word. We've got to choose to stay in that word. See, a marinade is not designed to be eaten or drank by itself. It's just too strong. It's got to be strong. It's got to be acidic to affect the meat. But part by part, time after time, we thank you right now for your word. We thank you. You know exactly where we are. Exactly what it is that your people need this morning. Lord, as we pray with these that have come, God, and we even pray for those that have not come, Lord, that you would meet us at our point of need. That you would right where we are. Where you know the desires of our heart, God. You know the needs, hallelujah. Therefore, you can supply those needs. You can lead us, Lord, in those dry places, those fearful places, those empty places, those hurting places, God. Lead us right there, God. And help us to cast our cares upon you. Help us to trust you,
Lord, we don't know what else to do but trust you. That's the best thing that we can do, God. So let your spirit have its way. Teach us, Lord, to cast our cares upon you, hallelujah, because your word tells us that you do care for us, Lord. And as we navigate the waters of this life, the storms of this life, the ups and downs of this life, Lord, you allow your word, God, to continue to permeate our hearts. Continue to cause us to meditate. Let it go deeper and deeper and deeper into our spirit. That we can walk in the way that you called us to walk. That we can be able to cast off these cares, Lord, as we trust and believe that you are more than able. So we bless them this morning, God. Meet them right there, hallelujah, at that point of need. Meet them right there, hallelujah, where they're struggling. Meet them right there, Lord, where they're hurting. Meet them right there, hallelujah. Let your word undergird. Let your word be the strength, hallelujah, of our lives, God. In your spirit, oh God, let it come and rest upon your children. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that yes, we can, hallelujah, even as David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. Help us to bring it back to our remembrance, God, by your spirit. Help us to bring it to our remembrance, God, when we feel like we don't have the strength to go on. Bring that word back to our thought. Bring that word, Lord, that has already been meditated upon, God. Bring it to the forefront of our thinking, Lord, that we may be able to turn away from that argument, that we may be able to keep our peace and hold our tongue, God, that we may be able to look unto you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. You are our help and our strength. Let your spirit, God, have free course here today over each and every one of your people, God, as we meet them in that point of need. We thank you, we magnify you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We continue to stand on his word. We continue to trust him, even though things might look a little crazy. We trust him. We believe him. Because there's nothing that befalls us, amen, that he doesn't already know about. And there's things that, you know, he allows to come into our lives, amen, that he knows going to provoke us to a good work. Pastor Sam said it gets in your spirit. Hallelujah. That now it becomes, I like that, how now it becomes a part of your character. You're not just speaking it, you're living it. You're producing it.
Surface.